Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with Beginner Runner Village podcast number 9, Running Form Part 1. Today, I want to talk to you about form and all of the elements of form. There's a lot more to it, probably, than I would imagine you would expect. I'll explain exactly why it matters and how it will benefit you. I'll go from head to toe, completely explaining all the elements of good form. And believe it or not, that will require not one, not two, but 3 episodes. Members of my program get a downloadable PDF with all of this information broken down into very brief points that they can use as a checklist to carry with them when they're out running. If you're not in my program, you can certainly still make your own checklist. And what I suggest you do is laminate it, then you can fold it up and put it in your pocket. Some coaches don't worry about form very much with their new runners. They seem to be 100% preoccupied with just building your endurance. I think that's a mistake. As I said before, I like to treat you, new runners, exactly like I treat experienced runners, except that everything is adjusted to what's appropriate for your level of experience. That doesn't mean you don't need or deserve the same knowledge about things like running form. You don't have to wait until you've been a runner for a while before that matters or before you're able to master good running form. In fact, the sooner you start trying, the better you're going to be sooner, and the less chance there is that you'll get hurt. Well, in fact, it's even, I think, when you have zero endurance, that it's the most important time for you to work on the best possible form. That's something we can absolutely work on just as much as an experienced runner can. In fact, this is the very best time to concentrate on form. You're not ready to concentrate on running faster, and as far as building endurance, you're gradually working towards that, and you can't speed up that process. But it's perfect to concentrate on form when you're only running a few steps at a time. That is the ideal time. Here's the thing. If you don't learn correct form now in the beginning, you'll have to learn it later, but then you'll be having to break bad habits that you've already learned. That just doesn't make sense to me. I'll have you running with correct form from the very beginning. Then, as you become more fit and relaxed, your form will continue to improve. Let's look at the specific reasons for practicing good form. Correct form greatly lessens the likelihood of injuries. Most people embarking on a running program are overweight. That's just a fact. But if that's you, you may be worried because you may have heard that running is bad for your knees. And you may be thinking that if the infamous pounding is bad for the knees of the average person and you are overweight, then you could really do some harm due to that extra weight. First, let me say that running is not bad for your knees in general, unless you have some specific physical problems or a prior injury. Say you played football in high school. I've heard that a lot of times. It can be bad for your knees if you run with bad form, though. I'll focus a whole episode on your knees and running at some point. But let me repeat, running, if done correctly, as regards building endurance and using correct form, is not bad for your knees. Many of the runners I've worked with have cast aside knee braces after I taught them good form. Some had been wearing knee braces throughout their running career, but once they improved their form, the braces were no longer needed. They had no more discomfort. With running form, your knees will not have undue stress. In fact, good form will help all your body parts to work as designed, greatly reducing stress on them. Another consideration is that correct form is easier because it requires less energy to go the same distance. That's important because you're in this for the long haul, and I want your running to be comfortable. It just feels better. It's more fluid and can be sustained with less effort for longer periods. It's faster. Now, I've told you, I don't want you to worry at all about speed. But still, if you learn good form, you will find that with the same easy effort, the same expenditure of energy, you will move forward at a faster pace. I do not want you to try to run any faster, not for a long, long time. But with good form, I will tell you that it is going to happen, that you start to feel more comfortable running with good form. As it becomes natural, you are likely to be running a little faster. It'll look better too. I know this is important to you. In the beginning, you're likely to feel kind of awkward and uncoordinated. You'll see experienced runners glide by looking like gazelles, and that may make you feel like an elephant or some other not so graceful animal. Believe me, I've heard this from many of my beginner runners, and it always makes me laugh because they're the only ones that think that. You must remember, and I'll say this often, those experienced runners did not look like a gazelle when they started. It's inevitable. Everyone must be a beginner first, but, and this is why I bring this up, if you practice good form, you will look more natural and feel more natural much, much sooner. Those are the reasons. And now's the time, early on, when you're not fit enough to run for longer than a minute, it is much easier to concentrate on form. In the beginning, you'll be doing a short walking segment alternated with a running segment. Before each running segment, do a head-to-toe form check. I do this with the runners I train in person, and it's quite helpful. They walk a prescribed time, then they pause, run down the head-to-toe form checklist, which I insist they memorize, and then they run for the prescribed number of steps. Now, let's get started. We'll start with your head. Number one, do not let your head fall forward. Pull your chin back and try to feel as if there's a string attached to the top of your head and pulling you up. You want your head over your shoulders, not jutting out in front of them. Hold it up and back and focus your eyes on the ground about 60 feet or more in front of you. Look down the road or the path. Do not look down at the ground. Number two, your shoulders. Keep your shoulders relaxed. Before you start running, relax your shoulders and rotate them in circles a few times in each direction. Are they nice and loose? I bet they're not. Now, I'm going to interrupt the flow here with some advice. If your shoulders are not nice and loose and relaxed, as soon as you finish this podcast, start researching where to find the best sports tissue massage therapist in your area and make an appointment. Pronto. I'll go into this more in another episode, but your form cannot be as good as it could be if your body is all constricted and tight. And if you sit at a desk in front of a computer a lot, I guarantee your body, especially your upper body, is not relaxed and loose like it needs to be for optimal running form. And if your shoulders and your head and your neck are not doing the right things, it affects your whole body. So that means your legs can't run as well either. Now, on with our discussion of running form. Pull your shoulders back and keep them down. When you're tense, the tendency is to let your shoulders rise up towards your ears. We don't want that. Number three, chest. Hold your chest up high in a position that makes it easy to breathe. You want your chest and abdomen lifted and feeling open. Do this test. Deliberately hunch over with rounded shoulders. Now try to get a good deep breath. Next, pull your shoulders down and back while lifting your chest up and out, and make sure your head is held back and high. Now take a deep breath. Do you notice the difference? Yep. Just improving your posture will help with breathing and form. Number four, arms. You must let your arms dangle from your shoulders. Let them swing naturally from the shoulder socket. Too often, I see runners that look at a glance like they're swinging their arms, but closer inspection reveals that they're moving their arms and shoulders as a single unit, as if their arms are glued to the shoulder in a fixed position, and the only way to move them is to move their shoulders. You want your arms to swing comfortably back and forth from the socket. Your arms will help you be balanced. Used correctly, they will be a great asset to your running form. But you must let them swing freely in the socket for this to work. Your arms should be bent at the elbow into a 90-degree angle or less. And with each step, you should pull your elbow back. That's right. Very important point. Do not drive your arm forward. Instead, pull it back from the elbow. Then, when it goes back as far as it can go, let it swing naturally forward, but not far forward. You're not running track. You're not a sprinter. They pump their arms hard and fast. They pump their arms forward, driving them up in front of their chest. and in front of their face. Distance runners don't move their arms nearly as much. It's just a short pull back and relaxed short swing forward. Just a short back to forward swing. A rule of thumb is to let your wrist graze your hip as you pull it back and then let it go forward only as far as your nipple. We like to say hip to nip. Your arms should never cross the center line of your rib cage either. Remember, you're pulling back from the elbow. That may seem odd, but it does make perfect sense when you think about it. Here's a demonstration. Stand up as if you're not doing so already. Now, keep your arms at your sides, but do five of what we would all call jumping jacks. But it's not a real jumping jack because you're not moving your arms, but you know how to do a jumping jack. Do five jumping jacks without moving your arms from your side. Then I want you to do five jumping jacks in the normal manner. Which felt better? The second one's right? The movement of your arms over your head in the usual manner to do a jumping jack all offsets the movement of your legs. When you didn't move your arms, you probably felt quite awkward. Well, when you run, when you pull your arm back, it makes it easier to simultaneously drive the leg on the same side forward. One movement is like a lever that makes the other easier and more comfortable. One more thing about your arm swing. Remember that you want all your momentum to be back to front, not side to side. Any sideward motion is going to work against you. It's worse than wasted energy because it's energy directed in the wrong direction. We want all your energy to be channeled into one efficient movement forward. If you're moving your arms appropriately, pulling them back and then letting them swing forward to just in front of your chest, then someone watching from the side should be able to see through the little opening created, like a little triangle, just in front of your elbow when you pull your elbow back. If that's not possible, you're not pulling your arm back far enough, which is often a fault, a form fault that people make. They feel like they're swinging their arms, but their elbow's never going back far enough. So be careful to watch for that. Number five, now for your hands. Hold your hands in a loose fist with the thumb on top. That's the easiest part. Okay, that's all for today. Our discussion of form will take three episodes because there's so much to cover. Now, here's your homework. Go out and practice walking with this form to see how it feels and start work on memorizing this first part of the running form checklist. After walking a half mile, alternate walking 1 minute with an easy 10-step segment of running. Do this for several cycles, pausing before each running segment to check your form. And remember, when I recommended a deep tissue massage in the last episode, I'm recommending it again. I also mentioned it in this episode. You need to get one. It will make a difference. You need everything to be nice and loose in order to have a comfortable, fluid running form. Even if you don't have to like make plans to get one every month. Of course, that would be wonderful. But most people go for years without ever having a massage, or they've never had one, especially not a deep tissue massage. You need to get everything loosened up. And even just that one will help tremendously early on in your running career. So I suggest you get it sooner rather than later. Now, I have a favor to ask. If you appreciate this podcast, this free podcast, it would be extremely helpful to me if you would log in to iTunes and give this podcast a review. That will help to move it up in the running category. As I record this podcast, my other running podcast, Mojo for Running, is number 8. But this one, because it's much, much newer, is a ways down the list. There are only 2 ways to bump it up in the rankings. One is for more people to subscribe to it. So if you haven't subscribed, I would really, really appreciate it if you would. The other thing is to review it. Even if you only click on a number of stars and don't write anything, that still counts as a review and will help move this podcast up in the among the others in the running category. Now, I realize most people listen to this podcast on their smartphones. So If you go to the trouble to leave a review, I really appreciate that you went to that trouble. Now a shout out to Larry Portsline for his suggestion that I received this week. I will definitely do a whole podcast on the topic you suggested, Larry. Great idea. Now today's quote. We must all suffer one of two things, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret and disappointment. John Rome.